They are utterly without direction. They're openly accessible to their enemies. They're completely unprepared to handle the pressures from without and the perversions within.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
David would say to us, I think, that we ought to thank God for the potential of a shepherd-sheep relationship with the Lord of heaven. And he would go a step further, I think, and say to us that we ought to see to it that we have entered into that relationship through faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As I look at the 23rd Psalm, I want you to notice with me, and we'll only touch the first one of these 3 points, but I want you to notice with me that there are three facets of that shepherd-sheep relationship that are presented in Psalm 23. A commencing relationship is stated in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. David could say without hypocrisy, I shall not want. It begins right there, Psalm 23:1. And then there's a continuing relationship, and that's in verses 2 to 5. And what we have in verses 2 to 5 is sort of an expose of all of the provisions of our shepherd for our well-being. He provides for us all kinds of rich blessings, rest and refreshment and restoration and regulation and refuge and resources for every facet of our life. There's a continuing relationship unfolded in verses 2 to 5. And then finally, there's a consummating relationship, and that's in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's the regulating principle of life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the radiant prospect of life. I tell you, it's a tremendous thing to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd. Now let's look at this first part, a commencing relationship, Psalm 23 and verse 1, where David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now what do you see as you look at that verse? There are three things that stand out to me in verse 1 that sort of define for us this commencing relationship. I see three things in verse 1. The first thing I see is a personality, the Lord. The personality, the Lord. The second thing is the performance. The Lord is my shepherd. The personality, the Lord, the performance is my shepherd. The product, I shall not want. He meets my deepest needs. He satisfies all of my cravings and my appetites. So David begins and he says in terms of the personality, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I would say again, suggest again, that that's the place all of us must begin with our lives. Now I want to go a step further. There are other things to be said here, but let's talk secondly about beyond the personality. That's where we begin. You must be certain that you have this personal, vital union with the Son of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can say without hypocrisy, the Lord is my shepherd. And I can say it without hypocrisy. I know there's been that time when I've personally integrated the Son of God into my life. I've personally appropriated all that he did for me when he died for me on the cross. I have by faith received the Son of God as my Savior. When he becomes your Savior, he becomes your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want you to see, secondly, the performance, the personality, the Lord. Only place worth beginning your life is with the Lord. And then, secondly, I want you to see the performance. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, it's interesting to me, as I study the Old Testament, that the word shepherd in the Old Testament is never a noun. It's always a participle. Whenever the word is translated shepherd, it's always there in the participial form. You say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a significant difference. Quite literally, David is saying, Jehovah, the Lord is one tending. He is one shepherding. He is one feeding me. The accent in the participle is that of continuous divine activity exerted in our behalf. It means that the living and the present and the personal God lives and exists and is present for our well-being. He's one tending, one shepherding, one feeding. There's another interesting connection with that word in the Old Testament. The Hebrew verb from which it comes, ra'ah, the Hebrew root from which it comes, can also be translated friend or companion. And it means that our great shepherd is also our great friend. It means that he not only takes care of us, it means that he cares for us. It means that his function as our shepherd is not something that is simply professional. It's very personal. He's interested in us individually. He has a personal union with us. He becomes our friend, our companion. As you face the awesome privileges and responsibilities of a new year, it's a blessing to go through that year knowing that you have a friend who is also your shepherd, and that that shepherd is none other than the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Now let me suggest to you, I wonder if I can shift gears for a moment and go to the New Testament, but carry on this theme of the Lord being my shepherd. I want you to notice in the New Testament documents that becoming sheep of Jehovah's fold involves an understanding of at least three things. There are three things at least that we need to keep in our minds. There are in the New Testament three portraits that will help us to understand how we may personally become the sheep of his fold. May I share them with you? If you have your Bibles, you might turn to the first one. It's in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. And it gives to us the first New Testament portrait that helps us to understand this concept of becoming sheep of his fold. What I find in Matthew the 9th chapter and verse 36 is the condition of lost sheep. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Jesus was always very perceptive. And what his eyes saw, his heart felt. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. The first portrait that's essential in understanding how we become sheep of Jehovah's fold is to understand the condition of lost sheep. This is what we were before we came to Christ. This is what we are if we've never yet been born again, if we've never yet been saved. Jesus saw people in a very specific and precise way. And he says, lost sheep, in terms of their condition, the condition of lost sheep, Matthew 9:36, lost sheep have at least three characteristics. You see them there in Matthew 9:36? He says, number one, they are harassed. He says, they fainted. And that's a very special word. Literally, it was a term that was used of sheep worried by dogs. That's how it was used, literally. It was a pastoral term, a shepherd sheep term. It was a term that was used of sheep worried by dogs. Metaphorically, I think it speaks of people who are milked by religious, political, social, and intellectual hucksters, and who are wearied or fainting because of it. They are confused and not knowing where to turn for help. They're wearily searching for God and for peace, but they don't know where to find it. And we're taught in the Bible from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, Jesus said, the weary search for God and for truth ends in me. It ends in the Son of God. So when Jesus looked at people, he saw them as those who were harassed by religious, political, intellectual, and social hucksters. Confused people, wearied by their pursuit of truth in God, not knowing where to turn. Jesus says, come to me. They are harassed. Secondly, he said they're helpless. He says they were scattered abroad, and that's really a powerful term. Ripto is the Greek word, and it's a very powerful term. It's a term that means laid prostrate. It means thrown down to the ground. It is the portrait of a man who has been laid low by a mortal wound. I want to tell you, there's a lot of theology in that word. That's exactly what has happened to every one of us because our anatomy is impregnated with sin. And sin is like a mortal wound. It brings temporal and it brings eternal death. And only Jesus Christ can liberate us from it. Not only were they harassed, they were helpless, thrown to the ground, laid prostrate, experiencing a mortal wound. That's true of every one of us until Jesus comes. And then we're reborn. We're given a new life. We're born the first time of corruptible seed. We're born the second time of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The third thing in the condition of a lost sheep, according to Matthew 9, verse 36, is not only are they harassed and helpless, but they're headless. The Bible says they have no shepherd. It means that they are utterly without direction. I tell you, that describes the unregenerate masses of our world today. They are utterly without direction. They're openly accessible to their enemies, at the mercy of their enemies. They're completely unprepared to handle the pressures from without and the perversions within. They need a shepherd. Jesus Christ is that shepherd. That's the condition of lost sheep. That's the condition of every one of us until we became the children of God. Matthew 9 in verse 36. We were harassed, we were helpless, and we were headless, having no shepherd. And then I want you to see, secondly, the second picture in the New Testament, which helps us to understand how we become the sheep of his fold, so that we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. The second picture I want you to see is in Matthew, and it's in the 18th chapter, and it's verses 11 to 13. Matthew, the 18th chapter, and here's what I would call the coming of a loving shepherd. We've seen the condition of lost sheep. Now I want you to see the coming of a loving shepherd. The Bible says in Matthew 18 and verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And then he tells us the procedure by which he goes about this. One of the favorite portraits of the Lord Jesus Christ, that of himself functioning as a shepherd, seeking out the lost sheep. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Now there you have the portrait, Matthew 18, verses 11 to 13. There you have the portrait of the coming of a loving shepherd. He sees us in our awesome and devastating condition as lost sheep, and he comes to relieve that condition. He comes to alleviate it. What his eye saw, his heart felt. What his heart felt, his hand touched. Jesus Christ comes to meet our needs, to save our souls, to reintegrate us, to make us all that God intended for us to be, to bring nobility and meaning and purpose down into our lives, which we could never have experienced apart from him. And the beautiful portrait by which he does that is in Matthew 18, verses 11 to 13. What do you see in that passage? I see the shepherd's love in that passage, verses 11 to 13. And there are five facets of that love. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, it is an individual love. You see it there in Matthew 18, verses 11 to 13. It's an individual love. Here's the coming of a loving shepherd, and we have a portrait of that love. It's an individual love. The 99 were not enough. One sheep was out on the hillside, away from the safety of the fold, and the shepherd could not rest until he had brought him home, and that's the way God is. God is like that. God loves every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. God's love is an individual love. It isn't simply that God loves the cosmos. God loves the world. He does love the world. But he loves individuals within that world. He loves you, and he loves me. And that brings tremendous value and meaning down into our lives. He loves every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. And he cannot be happy until the last wanderer is gathered in. You are a very precious and valuable commodity in the eyes of God. The love of God is an individual love. And we announce to you from this pulpit on the basis of the authority of the Word of God that God loves you as an individual. And he will meet your individual needs if you'll trust him.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.